Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello and welcome to At Your Exit. It is me, as usual, Morgan, and I'm going to join here with Jordan and Mike. And we do thank you for coming back and downloading us again. And we are, of course, here with all your magic news and musings from us here. And we'll go ahead and kind of break down what we're going to talk about. First, we're going to touch on Theros just a little bit. We obviously know that spoiler season is in full gear, and there's tons of interesting cards to talk about. But we don't want to drown you in it, and we'll definitely, once the whole spoiler's out, we'll definitely go through everything and kind of discuss it then. And we know how much Jordan loves that, so he will definitely
Jesus Christ.
He will definitely have an enjoyable time. What we mainly want to focus on is Modern, because we have GP Detroit coming up, and being that we are based in Columbus, Ohio, we are all planning on making the trek up to GP Detroit and playing some Modern. So that is going to be the bulk of our discussion for this podcast. But first, like I said, we are going to talk about Theros a little bit. So the main topic we kind of want to take a look at is Theros sort of a return to older school Magic? And Mike sort of brought this up in our show notes. And I think it's definitely something interesting to look up, because me and Jordan don't necessarily have the depth of Magic history that Mike does. And I think if Mike is sort of seeing these lines with Theros coming out, it's definitely a compelling thing to talk about. So, I saw on the show notes and it definitely made me think. So, what kind of makes you think that we're kind of heading that way, Mike?
Well, there's a few things I saw. The first thing is the series of cards that was spoiled the other day, which is the hate cards. I'm going to call them. It's a cycle of uncommons. And each one
the hate yourself cards. That's
yes,
what
the self-hating uncommons, so to speak.
The self-hating uncommons.
There's one for each color, obviously. The black spell destroys a black creature, the blue spell counters a blue creature. And honestly, they've moved away from these kind of sideboard cards for a while. Mm. They moved away from the Celestial Purges and that sort of stuff. And then all of a sudden they're back. And mixed in with that is something like, I'm trying to find the name of this one, but the red one is really interesting, because it's essentially a stone rain from a mountain. I want to make sure I have the name correct here.
Peak Eruption.
Peak Eruption, that is correct. Destroy Target Mountain, Peak Eruption deals 3 damage to the land's controller. Now, you might say, okay, Destroy a Mountain, that's really narrow. But it's a 3-mana land destruction spell.
Yeah,
and
I
mean, they won't reprint Stone Rain. They have desperately tried to stay away from this. So I can't help but see something like that and go, you know what I mean? Like, that's, they've stayed away from this territory for so long, so I'm kind of enjoying seeing that again. Along with that is the way the creatures are being done. The creatures are powerful. Power creep has been a normal thing. But the big creatures in here are generally average costed, but monstrosity is what's making them big. And there's a huge time and mana investment in that. So the format looks slower, but it also looks like you might actually have time to cast your spells if you want to play the kind of deck that isn't only running creatures into each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what I see. The last thing is the Planeswalker that Morgan and I know you loved. I'm going to let you explain what he does, and I'll talk about him, because you seem to just lose your mind when you saw him spoiled.
I don't know. Okay, so there's a new Planeswalker that was just revealed. Kind of giving some backstory about it. He looks to be the enemy of the block, per se. I believe that I watched the world building panel that they had at PAX. And I believe that they set him up as sort of the main enemy of that's going to be a block. And I'm pulling him up right now here real quick. So it is Xenagos the Reveler, and it's a Satyr Planeswalker, which is pretty freaking awesome. And he's in that Planeswalker sweet spot of costing 4, so he's 2 red and green, so he's a buddy of that other Planeswalker that recently got printed Dawnbreak Raid. And he's fairly interesting, and I think that he will definitely be a player in Standard. To what extent, I guess, in our entire group, we're all kind of curious about that. But just kind of break him down. So he starts off, he comes into play with 3 loyalty, which is, fine. His plus one ability is add X mana of any combination of red and or green to your mana pool, where X is the number of creatures you control. So, you know, potentially a ramp spell. You can do some crazy things with it if you're playing a ramp deck. You have your mana creatures out. There's a new Birds of Paradise or a Utopia tree, essentially. That is a 0/3 with hexproof and taps for any color. That's one in a green. So you have that guy out. You have your mana elf out. You know, he could come out and produce, you know, 2 to 3 extra mana when he comes out and play another creature to protect him. So that's pretty interesting. And then he has a middle ability, which is actually 0. So you could just lay him on the ground and put this, and it doesn't affect his loyalty. And it's just put a 2/2 red and green satyr creature token onto the battlefield, with haste onto the battlefield. That's the important part. So he comes out, puts a beater out on the board. So that's fairly interesting. I personally think that sometimes those two abilities contrast. Like, obviously you don't have to attack with a satyr. You can just put it out and be a blocker. But, you know, one is laying, you know, rampant to something, the other one's being fairly aggressive. That was ultimate, and, you know, who knows how good or bad this is. But it seems fairly powerful depending on, you know, if you're building your deck the way that this planeswalker wants your deck to be built, which is creatures, you can exile the top 7 cards of your library. You may put any number of creatures and or land cards from among them onto the battlefield. So hopefully if you're playing creatures, lands, very few spells, you exile the top 7, you're going to get a huge conglomerate of creatures and lands and put them on there. So
now, for everybody, just so Morgan seems a little more dialed down than he did when this card was initially announced. For people that, you know, in our playtesting team's Facebook group, this is what Morgan posted. I'm going to try to read it to you exactly.
But no, you have to read it.
I'm going to read it.
Do you know who I was emulating? Do you know who I was emulating when I put that on there?
Dude, who were you emulating? I'll try my best.
It's the good old Evan Irwin. Come on. That's why I put it on there
I was going to do it as I imagined you saying it.
No, please don't, because it's going to be embarrassing.
It's going to be embarrassing. You ready? All right, here we go. Nobody! This guy! This guy is freaking nuts!
You actually did it fairly accurate to Evan.
That's pretty good.
I'm not going to lie.
Good.
That's exactly how I imagined you reading it. I'm reading this shit at work, and I just died. And I was like, I don't know if this card's good, but I'm going to probably buy one because Morgan put this in the Comic Town group.
I mean, that's why Evan Irwin does it, right?
This guy! But it's just that's how excited Morgan was.
Listen, it's red and green, and I like those colors. And
by the way, nobody liked the post.
Everyone shat on it. Yep, I know.
So I want to talk about, like, him specifically. So I know you're excited about him, but I see that plus one, and I feel like it's dangerous. And, like, not like I'm afraid it's going to, like, actually break standard. When I say dangerous, I'm like, they don't make effects like this anymore. The same with that Nykthos, the Shrine to Nyx, which is Cabal, you know, coffers for, you know, permanents, you know, mana sources. It's this ramp ability seems interesting, but, you know, Xenagos here seems to have this, I don't know, as a plus one, like, I've seen him already compared to Koth. But I think Koth was in such a different format, and his minus ability, you know, you're playing him in an aggressive red deck. You weren't in a format where you had dual lands that were mountains. I think it was less relevant. But here, I mean, if you're noticing something, there was the green creature that was revealed really early. It's in the dual deck, the Satyr Hedonist, also known as Phil. the one that says sacrifice him and add 3 red mana to your mana pool. So
we'll
you could
red
potentially... Well, you have to pay right to sacrifice, right. But you can potentially have, you know, your turn 1 mana elf, your turn 2 hedonist, and then, you know, your turn 3, you know, Xanagos make a guy. The next turn, you have nearly infinite mana, and we have a lot of interesting, powerful creatures, you know, with monstrosity or things like Bargamos because he gets enraged. Or even things like, so that I'm not kidding, I was already tooling around with a deck like this. So Satyr Hedonist seems insane. Do you know why? Because he casts Boros Reckoner in your mainly green deck. So you have, like, Boros Reckoner, and you can play, like, Clan Defiance for a million and just, like, kill your opponent and laugh at them. And, like, I'm not saying that's good, but I'm just saying, like it's been a long time in Standard since you've been like, wow, I have a ton of mana besides just playing, like, you know, 14 one-mana dudes that died a bonfire.
Right. It's definitely interesting. I think, I mean... Obviously, there's so many effects with Monstrous being a mechanic to ramp into, where you just want all this mana to pay for all these huge costs. So I think that that's why they might be just filling it in there. But, man, with being able to cast Boris Reckoner off of Phil, that's pretty good. I guess I didn't necessarily see the line of play, but, yeah, I dig it. I dig it a lot.
There's just something about this whole, I don't know, this whole setup and the whole, like, we're pushing enchantments. Now, I haven't seen any enchantment, you know, besides maybe some of the gods because Indestructible is a big game. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, when I think enchantment block, you know, you play during Urza's block and it wasn't fun to play because it was just ridiculously overpowered decks and overpowered cards. Now, obviously, they've toned this down, but I just see a focus on enchantments, a focus on some spells they haven't looked at in a while, some effects they haven't done in a while, and creatures themselves just aren't. You know, once Standard rotates, granted, we still have a lot of cards in Theros, but once Standard rotates, I mean, we don't even have a red one drop that you want to play right now. Like, who knows if we're going to get one. So it looks like maybe we're going to slow down a little bit, play our spell-heavy format. I don't know. I'm kind of excited.
Not that he's insane, but we do have Rakdos Cackler, just for reference.
Okay, fair. I'm sorry. You're right. We do have Rakdos Cackler. Rakdos Cackler, see, and this is going to sound terrible because this is power creep talking. Like, Rakdos Cackler is fine, but it doesn't really, you know, it's not Goblin Guide. You know, and it's not even, you know, it doesn't even have, in an open format, the upside that, you know, Stormblood Berserker, that's old. Help me here. Vampire. Yeah. Thank you. The Noble did. I mean, look at the, there's a rare that was just announced, Fleece Mane Lion.
Ooh,
which hilariously was called Goatman Lion.
Goatman Lion.
When it was first translated. So, but that's,
for people that don't know what the lion is, it's 3/3 for 2, green and white, or just green and white. That's when it becomes monstrous, it gets hexproof and indestructible.
And you know, it has monstrous 1, so it gets a +1 counter. Yeah. So it's because of 4/4 indestructible hexproof creature.
And I mentioned this card mainly because, like, I want to say, like, that card's fine. But, like, so Watch Wolf was a 3/3 for green white uncommon in Ravnica, and it blew people away. Like, wow, it's so much power. And in Standard right now, we have 3 3/3s for 2 mana that call the Conclave and Croson Tusker. Or, yeah, is it Croson? No, not Croson Tusker. Man, I'm getting names bad today. What's the new one out of the core set?
A Clonian.
Colonian Tusker. It is a Tusker, that's it. But we have 3 of them, and that doesn't even feel that strong because we're losing all these haste creatures and hell riders and the big, you know, we have, you know, the new Thunder Maw is not nearly as impressive. So I don't know. This format just feels like it's going to be a huge shift in the way we play. Obviously, Flash is leaving for the most part. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to see how this feels. It feels different, and I like it.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Now, I thought that hate cycle was definitely interesting. I really like, I think the standout, like, obviously the red one's, you know, very, very interesting to see on a card. You know, competitively priced land destruction is not something we see. And, you know, we have dual lands, you know, in the format, which is,
exactly, huge.
So we actually have, you know, things that are both land types. So this I see getting play. I think the black one's really narrow. But I think it's moderately, like, it's 1 mana to kill a black creature. So that's definitely something that, depending on how powerful, something is, then we might see play. I really think that the white one is huge as well. Cause it's just exile target white permanent.
Yeah,
that is insane to me. Like, I don't understand how they can put that on a card. There's so many things, like, think about this exile. I can exile your Boris Reckoner, or I can exile your Detention Sphere, or I could exile your Ajani, or your Elspeth.
Your Chain to the Rocks.
Your Chain to the Rocks. Like, just the versatility of that card, even though, like, it only hits one color, but I don't, like,
the blue and white are going to be, as we've already discussed,
yeah,
the better colors, you know, so they had to put something in there. I mean, I even think, because of the black one's narrow, but think of that card in Modern with access with Snapcaster. It kills Dark Confidant, it kills Deathrite Shaman.
That's true.
For our mana.
What do we think about these being sorceries? I mean, I know they're insane, but, like, to somebody that's new to this cycle of hate or whatever, what do we call them, hate cards? Self-hate, me hate, I hate? jump on the cliff cards? Okay. Sorcery speed, so exile target away permanent, okay. In my main phase, what do you guys say to that?
Even in Standard, you know, the cards that, you know, Morgan just listed, I mean, you have a solid answer to so many things immediately. It's good. It's a good card.
Okay, no, I mean, and that's what I wanted to hear, really, was I mean, I wanted to know if Sorcerer Speed was too big of a downplay. And I love the flavor text on Glare of Heresy, so that's fine. No foe is more hated than the former friend. I can just do voiceovers for this show the rest of the night. I don't actually have an opinion. And that art's insane. Oh, my gosh. It's like a Johnny like going ham on a guy. Oh, dude.
The other thing I should mention about this, when you ask about that, Jordan, Exile is going to be super important in this format.
Yep, Exile is
because
the format,
enchantments being, you know, the bestow mechanic, all that kind of stuff, and all of the gods being legendary. If you have a chance to exile something, do it. So that's what I think.
That's a good point.
I think the blue card. Not that I want to talk spoilers too much, but the lovely Odyssey flavor card that turns everything into piggies.
Yeah,
Curse of the Swine, where you can two blue and X exile X target creatures, and then put two adorable swine tokens into play. Those are the greatest tokens ever printed. But it's like oh man, it's, you know, Odysseus' man getting turned into pigs. But also you get to exile a creature X creatures in blue. It's I don't know.
Art on those tokens yet?
It's great. It's like a pig with like the helmet sitting next to it, and the pig just looks like it's smiling. It's like, I used to be a man. It's so great.
Oh god, I want five.
I used to be a man. It's so good.
A real boy. It's like, stop it, babe. Okay.
If I eat myself, do I still like bacon? Is it? I don't understand.
I don't know how this fixes you.
Bacon's
mean.
Gross.
Whoa. Get out.
I know, we just lost five viewers right there.
Yeah, right.
Actually,
there
it's funny as I'm not a big fan of bacon either. It's okay. We can have a coming out party here.
Rights for people who don't like bacon.
And just to make sure that it's known, Gainsay, the counter target blue spell, that is a reprint, obviously. So that is
But even that effect, I mean, like, if the decks are all blue, like, in the sideboard, like that might be better than the gate in some metas. I mean, you counter Sphinx's Revelation, which is the major thing, and it's aggressively costed. You know what I mean? But it also counters Aetherling, which negate cannot counter both of those spells. Mm. So it's important.
Mm. Countering Aetherling just sounds so good.
No cavern, so you will get to do that now.
I hate that card. Yeah, so much.
So, I mean, that's all we really want to talk about. I mean, we're all very excited, and I'm sure that our minds are racing at what is going to be competitive for, you know, when Theros Standard breaks. And luckily, we have an open in Cleveland a week after Theros is official, so we kind of at least get to see...
My stomping grounds, guys. We're going to take you up there. Get some Swenson's.
Oh, man. I really want Swenson's round two. I cannot tell you how much. I'm excited.
That was a good burger.
Hopefully, we won't get dicked over this time.
You know, honestly, it's even worth it for those delicious patties. I'm not even kidding.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
So we'll kind of get
your diabetes here.
So we'll kind of get a preview of what it will be played, being that there will be an open beforehand. So that's kind of nice. But, I mean, obviously, we still want to remain competitive. So hopefully we'll have some more information with what comes out. The one thing that sucks is the land cycle still has not been spoiled, so hopefully we'll have that for you guys, and we will have a long, lengthy discussion about that, hopefully next week.
I mean, hell, if we make it till midnight and they do spoil lands, we might be able to do a breaking news.
Oh, man, that would be sweet.
It's so important, too, because like, you have all these pipe dream decks in your head, and it really depends on how good the mana is, though, and you're either going to be like, yes, or just totally heartbroken.
Right, I mean, like, we're either going to run four shocks and then, you know, 20 basics, or like, we're just in this really weird phase of like deck building right now that... And this is one of the reasons that I, quote, hate spoilers, even though that's not totally accurate statement.
Oh, it's so much fun. You need to learn to live a little.
Yeah, it's the unknown scares me or something, I guess. but, you know, I'm really excited for the land spoiler. That's something that I'll genuinely want to talk about. I mean, there's another Merfolk. See, that's me trying. It didn't work.
Like I said, there's a lot of stuff, and we'll get more deeper into it. We kind of just want to touch base. I think we've already talked too much about it already. So let's go into modern. So this, we're kind of gonna do it a little out of order. We're gonna do our actual question of the week, because we haven't necessarily talked a whole lot about modern on the podcast, and since we have a huge modern event coming up, it felt like a good time to do it. So really, you know, our question of the week is, you know, how do you know, you as a competitive player, you know, really view this format. It's kind of weird. It's not something that's played every week because, you know, Star City, they have Legacy, or they have, you know, team sealed, or they have another round of standard on their Sundays, so they don't play modern. You have modern side events that happen. You have modern on Magic Online. It is a Pro Tour format, I believe. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a Pro Tour format. So you do see that at the Pro Tours. But I think, like, out of all the formats, it's probably one that people are least experienced with, just because of its kind of place in a lot of life. So, I want to start with Mike. Mike, how do you view Modern?
I really like Modern. I think it's been interesting to, like, watch it since its inception, and all the pros have just, like, it's really funny. Like, all the pros are just like, here's what's wrong with this format, here's how you fix it. And Wizards doesn't listen to them at all, and they just keep playing it. And then they're like, oh, I like this format now. All of them. Oh, man, this format's sweet. And just like, yeah, you guys need to just be patient. I like it because, like I said, I started playing, really early, like at first Tempest and that kind of stuff. But I didn't play competitively until Onslaught. Now, Onslaught obviously was not in Modern, and that makes me very sad because, oh, God, Onslaught. But everything since then, like that I played with, especially, Mirrodin Block, is something I had a lot of fondness for, a lot of good memories with. So, like, when I see the format, I see a lot of cards, and it's like, ooh, yeah, even though I missed a few blocks, I don't know, I really enjoy the nostalgia of it, but I think, like, I like it because it's wide open. There are decks that are viable. Like, you can play, the deck that has four Goyves, four Dark Confidant, all that, and be just fine. But you can also play the Burn deck, and it puts up numbers, too. It's not like Legacy where, the Burn deck will put up numbers every now and then, but honestly, you have to have duels to be able to play with the big boys. You have to have forces. You don't have to have the big stuff. You know what I mean? Now, I will say fetches are starting to price out, which sucks a little bit.
Yeah.
But what's exciting to me is they're actively supporting it. They don't support, Wizards doesn't support Legacy. Yes, you have your random GP, but if Legacy dies, Wizards doesn't care. They don't make any money off the format anymore, but Modern is something they can control, and I'm glad to see them supporting it. So I really like the format. I think there's a lot of options in the format, and every, unlike Legacy, so when a new format, like a new set, like Theros comes out, right, like you'll see two or three cards where it's like, oh, this might see play once in Legacy, okay? But for Modern, every new set that comes out just increases the pool so much, and everything is playable. The power level is not that far above Standard in the first place. So I don't know. I really enjoy the set. I won't lie, though, telling you guys this. Nostalgia is definitely a reason that I like the format so much.
Right. And I think that's fair. I know of these cards. I know of the format, and it's something that I've tracked because you can only play Standard so much. Like, Standard's always fun, but sometimes you just want to break into an older format because you get tired of, like, investing in something, and then it rotates out, and it's just gone. And then you have to rebuild and rebuild. Sometimes you just want to invest in something and it's there. But, for someone that doesn't have infinite dollars, Legacy is not something you can just, like, buy into. And you have to be, I feel like you really have to be good at trading and just to be dedicated to it or just have the cash. But Modern's a little bit different. You can buy over time, and a lot of the cards, that come out, can't even you might already own for your Modern decks. The other thing is, I think that Standard cards that come out, when they come out with new cards, they actually have a better chance of influencing Modern, which is something that's really nice. So you can pick up a card and be like, well, this is going to be good in Standard, and it's also going to be good in Modern. We saw that with things like Deathrite Shaman, which is also good in Legacy, I guess. But
the card's insane.
Yeah, I've heard a few people say that. But I think that the Standard cards do have an easier chance of impacting Modern. even something like Voice of Resurgence. Voice of Resurgence is definitely a role player in Standard, but it has picked up in Modern a little bit as well in certain decks. So it kind of makes investing in Standard cards a little bit easier because you think, like, well, maybe these will have a lasting impact, further down the road, which is nice. It makes it easier. How I personally view Modern is it's something that I definitely I want to get invested in, but it's really hard, obviously. Like Mike said, fetches, when all the blue fetches are $50 each now, which is more expensive than some Legacy.
They're gonna keep going up. They're gonna keep going up too.
Exactly. That's the weird thing. You want to invest in it, but I can't buy any more fetches. I have Arid Mazes, and I have, like, all the non-blue fetches, almost, but how am I gonna get, $400 to invest, finish out my mana base? Like that is super rough. And then there's it is becoming far more expensive, you know, it is than it used to be to really invest it in. And it's really weird because I think a lot of people play the stock market with it. They basically speculate on cards and then push the prices of cards even higher and higher. And this happens, you know, with legacy cards that can't be reprinted. But it's really weird when it happens with modern cards because, you know, they do have the potentiality, I guess. But it's definitely an interesting format, and it's interesting because I think that eventually Legacy will die. You know, eventually Legacy won't be a format. It'll be new Vintage pretty much, and Vintage won't, you know, will be all proxy. So I feel that I personally will never invest in Legacy. Like, it's just too far out of my price range. All those decks look really nice, and it'd be really sweet to play with some actual dual lands, but that's just not in the cards for me. Ah, did you like that?
Uh-huh.
So
go home. That was not insane.
I already am home, sir.
get off my call.
But modern, like, you know, it's something that I can definitely see continuing to invest in and continuing to want to get better at and want to support. I just want to make sure that there are, you know, places for me to play. That's the only thing that I think is really lacking, is you can't just always play Modern unless you play online.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, I look at Modern, until literally yesterday. This is being recorded on 9/5. I played my second full match of Modern on 9/4 in my life. So I had a blue-red Graveshot Storm deck built, but that doesn't count. So could play with myself in those games. But I always looked at Modern as like this great beyond. That's the format.
No, it's the elephant graveyard.
No, but admittedly, like, and this is honestly how me, a guy who's played for a year, looks at these Eternal formats, as they're called, is this great beyond, or that's the format the good players play, you know? And that might sound like childish, and some of you might laugh at that, but like, that's really where my head was at with Modern. Was those were old cards. Old cards are really good, but the interactions are really hard to figure out. I'm playing Red Green Tron, right? Or Green Red Tron, excuse me. Karn? Whoever thought that was a fair card to make? What? It's like -3, and I get to take anything, a land, a spell, what? Or +3 or +4, and get like something good from your hand. How is that fair? That card's nutter butters. But like, and I played on turn 3. Go home, sir.
See, like, that you got to remember. That's the reason why it's powerful. Like the card is fine on turn 7. The card is not fine on turn 3.
No.
It's like, oh, like in the mirror. Oh, keep you off Tron, or oh, the spell you were probably going to play next turn sucks to suck. Like, so this feels like this very powerful format that just my little feeble standard mind can't wrap my head around. But at the same time, that becomes such a great intellectual challenge that I just really want to play. The thing I hate about the format currently, and if you've listened to the show before and you know me in person, you'll know I hate not knowing what cards do because I feel dumb and I hate feeling dumb. I hate that I don't know what cards do. You know what did at work today? Looked at Modern decks all day. they pay me to look at Modern decks. That's right. I have the dream job.
Until they listen to this and then you're fired.
Dad, I'm sorry. I love the format. The price point's a little rough, and that's why I'm jumping into a green-red Tron, because I think it is a powerful deck, and it's, you know, I don't have to buy fetches. The thing I really like about the format, as Morgan was saying, is that you just buy into it, and it's always there. It's like a heavy initial investment, but it costs less over 5 years than standard will ever cost. I can play green-red Tron till Magic is no longer a game. Excuse me. And that's something I really like. I like that the Grove of the Burn Willows that I'm going to buy for $80 probably tomorrow. You know, those will always be worth money. Those will always be playable to me. The thing that is kind of rough that I really don't like, and I'm kind of rambling at this point, so I'll wrap it up. But the thing that I don't like is I have to learn a whole new format. You know, like over the course of a year, you learn one standard. Well, Modern's been around for what, Mike, 2 years now? 3 years of the format?
Like 2 years, yeah.
2 years of the format? So this meta's been constantly evolving, constantly changing. And like I was talking at testing last night, I said, I don't know what my sideboard should be. These are some pretty good cards that I've read online, but I don't know what the meta is anymore. Because you read MTG Salvation, and those posts are, you know, a month or two out of date sometimes. But, you know, I do like the format. It gives me this intellectual challenge that, you know, it makes me feel like I'm a real player, because you have those players like, huh, I don't play standard. I only play eternal formats, thank you. And, like, that's kind of douchey and pretentious. But now I get to feel like, oh, well, you know, like, no, I don't actually only play standard. So when I bonfire you for the win, I don't feel like a complete dick. I feel like I'm the skilled player when I play Combotron. LOL.
Well, I mean, I will say, you know, and I said the same thing about Cube, and you're like, oh, I don't like that. And I understand the negativity towards, like, not knowing what cards do, but each format you play makes you better. I mean, I love playing Legacy. I don't have Legacy cards. I don't have the money for Legacy cards. Now, I know any Legacy player who's well invested will tell you, well, you spend this amount of money on Standard, but I don't spend money on Standard. You know what I mean? Like, I win most of the stuff that I have.
Right.
So the transition from Modern, you know, Standard to Modern, like if you got into Standard and returned to Ravnica Block, okay, and you've been getting a ton of Standard, you could already have Deathrite Shamans, you could have Voices, and then if you're still playing in Theros, you'll get Thought Seizes, you know what I mean? So this transition feels a little bit more, I don't say easy, but it's something more possible.
Smoother. Yeah, absolutely. Instead of spending $60 on Thought Seizes, you're spending... You know,
oh, I'm sorry, Morgan. $60 on Thought Seasons.
I hear what you're saying. It's definitely cheaper in quotes. It's still expensive initially, but it is easier if you get the standard pieces that are played.
Right. Formats. So, it's definitely skill intensive, and I think we'll talk about this too when we're talking about, you know, the decks we're going to play with. You know, Modo is probably the best place still for Modern, what you're going to, you know, how you look.
Right.
When you go to a GP, I mean, Modern itself, the one thing I will say is a downer to Modern, and this is something other, you know, I won't say other because I'm not in this category, but pros have mentioned is how sideboard dependent games can be. I'll use a friend from our testing group who was considering playing a Tezzeret deck, which is Tezzeret is sweet, but because Stony Silence is so common against the Wurmcoil decks and the Tron and the Affinity decks, he can't play it because he just loses to it. And it's unfortunate because it's a sweet deck, but the sideboard cards are so strong they can negate entire strategies. And that makes sense, like when you talk about Dredge, right? Like that's a fringe strategy, so you have to play the game of balancing the direct hate for it with the chance of seeing it. But the Modern hate cards, so many of them are so powerful. Like Blood Moon, I mean, you want to talk about the power of Blood Moon, go look at the Legacy top 8 from this last week where Ruben Bressler, you know, destroyed people with Painter and Blood Moon. People, you know, that card, you know, just hoses so many decks that you don't get to play Magic. And I feel like the sideboard cards are a little strong. And it does therefore make sideboarding hard, but... We'll work on it this week. Yeah, but I wish they were less powerful.
No, I mean, and that's, you know, one of the things I heard Jerry T talk about on At Your Instep was...
Jerry T on At Your Instep? I don't...
Oh, what's the podcast that we all like from Canada?
You got that confused with us.
Yes, I did.
No one else is getting that confused with us. No,
they should be, that's for sure. But Jerry T was on the A-Team, and he said, you know, I hate this format because... I play this one deck that beats every deck except this other one deck that's really good. And so somebody plays a deck that beats that deck, but it loses to my deck. And it's rock, paper, scissors, but times a million. You know, when in Standard we have five decks maybe, and you can kind of figure out who has the advantage. But in Modern, it's like, no, you just straight up lose to this guy.
Right.
Because they can tutor for the cards that kill your cards or whatever. And it feels like this very, like, oh, you're playing this deck, won't play this deck, here, I'll send you 2-0. So I like what you said. I'm just only saying this just to lend credence that, like, it's kind of weird, you know, format, but yeah.
So, I mean, so with this, though, you know, we've obviously all decided to play it. So we can move on to sort of getting what I lovingly called in the show notes, get equipped with. I knew Morgan would appreciate that reference. Morgan, what is your weapon of choice? As we head into... Now, I will warn everybody, we are going to Detroit, so when you hear this, this may be the last time you hear our voices.
I'm getting equipped with a wreck. Nine, yeah.
Yeah. With a cat, maybe? I don't know.
But no, seriousness, what are you equipping yourself with in Detroit?
I'm taking Blockwhite tokens. It's basically, a long time ago, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to build a modern deck. And I was looking at a few places. I was like, Boros seems like fun. Boros Landfall, you know. So I bought the fetches, and like, this is what in Modern's infancy, when you could just be like, well, yeah, I'll just buy these fetches. Like, they're like $10 each. Like, no big deal. I'll just buy these. So I bought Marsh Flats, and I bought the white base fetches. So I had Marsh Flats and Arid Mesas, and I bought Scalding Tarns, and also all the white and red ones. So I was like, oh yeah, and I just put it on the back burner and never did anything with it, and then. Come fast, you know, I've clearly have lost the game because I have since now sold my Scalding Tarns, which is, you know, horrible. And but I still have Arid Mesas and I still had Marsh Flats. I was like, well, what uses that? And I was like, well, there's this Black-White Tokens deck that seems to be popping up, and basically it's Craig Wesco and Melissa Torres that have really been sort of singing its praises. Or at the very least, still supporting it, because I need their deck lists. Seriously, there's none out there that no one else has. But it's kind of not a very prominent strategy, but it has shown up. It showed up at the Players' Championship, because that's what Wesco played. Detour has, you know, done well with it at GPs herself. So, but it's basically, you know, you get tokens out, you get, you know, things like Out of the Pure, Intangible Virtue out, and you just kind of beat people to death with those, and you have, you know, some powerful planeswalkers. You play things like Elspeth, Nine Aaron. Yeah, you get to play Path to Exile. Now the new spicy thing that they've actually integrated in the deck, and I've done so with my deck, is actually playing Deathrite Shaman. So you play more fetches, and then you actually play Deathrite Shaman to sort of accelerate you into things like, you know, Spectral Procession on turn two. Which, by the way, is really fun. If you've never got to live that dream, it's very nice. It's a very resilient strategy. It is a very fair deck, though, so I have a hard time against, you know, combo strategies. It does rely, yeah, heavily on disruption with Thoughtseize. It does play four main, so it is something that I've basically kind of said that I want to, you know, commit to this deck. I want to play this. And it be the, you know, the my deck of choice going forward, and just, you know, get better at it. I know it has the potentiality because it does have very flexible sideboard slots. You're only playing two colors, so you have, you know, a certain amount of things that you can actually look at. But I have faith in the deck, and like, I have fun playing it. I like having small creatures, put them on the board, making them bigger, and just, you know, killing people out of nowhere. That's what I have. That's what I'm bringing. Hopefully, I can find three more Thoughtseizes before next week, or I will be playing one Thoughtseize, three Inquisition of Kozilek, which is not the same. So, we kind of already heard a little bit what Jordan has. We'll go back to Jordan. But Mike, what are you bringing to the table?
I'll talk about it in 1 minute. I want to ask you a question about the tokens.
Oh yeah, sure.
Because this list is, you know, your list has been around for a little bit, but tokens itself has been played since the beginning of the format. You right. can play unfair tokens if you want, which is polymorph.
Right. It's Emrakul,
which is sweet. Or you said you were talking about adding green, right, for voices right. and also for Garrix. Have you considered doing that?
The list that I found, like, it's hard. It's really hard to balance that because you have a critical mass of cards, and it's hard to take away one thing to add, you know, four more creatures to your deck. I don't think that I've had enough games just with black-white tokens to, you know, make that switch over to junk. I think that green adds a lot of interesting things to the deck, which make it very tempting. So you get things like Abrupt Decay in Modern, which I would really love to play. You know, you get things like, you know, you get interesting sideboard options like Choke, which would be insane. But I'm not sure what you could, you know, take out of the deck to add that in that would have that same effect. So I think that once I get more games in with the deck and see, you know, where the format is, that'll be a lot easier to determine, you know, what could be shifted, what could be moved. I mean, the mana base is easy to fix. Like, you can easily, you know, work with a mana base, and you have access to Deathrite Shaman, so that makes it even easier if you're just playing a bunch of fetches. but it's definitely hard to be like, well, where do you fit in, you know, for voiceover surgeons? Is that card even good enough in this format for this deck? I think it is. I think that it's very, interesting when you take a look at it, but it is just interesting to really kind of figure out. And I'm not necessarily much of a brewer, so, I definitely look at other lists and stuff like that. So I hope that at some point in time that I can do that, but I just want to get comfortable with the deck first before I make any huge modifications.
Fair enough. I just want to ask specifically, because I know we talked about it. The polymorph version is fun, but I don't think polymorph is very good, especially with all the instant speed removal there is.
Yeah.
That is not as an additional cost, unfortunately. For those who don't know, polymorph lets you destroy a token and search your library for another creature, and because you're only playing tokens, the only creature you have actually a copy of is Emrakul. And you can also cast it off your hideaway lands. So the deck has some sweet interactions, but also gets blown out a lot. So anyways, though, I talked about this a little bit before, but I'm still playing Gruul Aggro. At a recent event, I played Splinter Twin for a long time at the beginning of this format. And honestly, Splinter Twin is like the only combo deck that Wizards hasn't tried to hate out for some reason. Like, you don't have like Ponder or Preordain, which, moment of silence for those. Yeah, I wasn't kidding. I gave him a moment of silence for this. It made me sad. So I tried out a blue-white-red version that had been doing very well on Modo. And the deck was fine, but it had some issues and had some cards that were a little awkward. Like Wall of Omens is a sweet card, but in that deck it wasn't doing enough. Like, it's cute that you can, like, Restoration Angel it or, like, Splinter Twin it if you need to, but probably not winning the game that you're putting a Splinter Twin on your Wall of Omens. So... so I decided to go back to Gruul Aggro for the GP. I don't know how easily it is to spike something like that, but the deck is essentially playing nothing but one drops. I have reworked it a bit because I will tell you right now, you're listening to us talk about Modern. If you have Premium Star City, go read Arlax. That guy and Modern, his articles are great for it. And I took his advice on the Gruul Aggro, played more one drops, playing some sweet Rakdos Cacklers I picked up. And I'm just going to keep trying that way. I've been testing some games on Cockatrice tonight. I mean, some other random program that you can play Magic on.
Something that doesn't use the art at all. You know.
Because Cockatrice doesn't exist anymore because Wizard shut it down.
LOL.
But
for cereal, guys!
And I keep going back and forth on whether or not I want to play Tarmogoyfs. Our buddy who I can borrow Tarmogoyfs from... deciding to use some of his, so I may need to find more Goyfs, or I can decide not to play them. I haven't really decided yet, but Scavenging Ooze in testing continues to just be insane, so I'm really excited to get to play that now in Modern. My sideboard's a little bit stranger. I have to be, like, I found out, as we talked about this at Gen Con and Modern Champs, I can't go into a tournament and just not have, you know, things like Back to Nature, because you just play against the Bobble deck and just get blown out, and... Oh, man, so sad. So
yeah.
Have to have stuff on the board to be able to beat a Daybreak Cornet and the like. But I'm going to try and rework that. We're going to do a lot of testing this week. It's been suggested we even forego our FNM tomorrow, which I think I am going to do to test. So I really want to do well at the GP. But obviously, as you said, Jordan, sideboards are going to be rough. I'm just going to keep reading articles into next week. And if you're planning on going to GP Detroit, do the same thing. And test as much as you possibly can, like, especially, you know, like, if you haven't played that much. Like, I like the format a lot, but I still feel like there's a lot of cards that you're just like, it's not nearly as bad as Legacy, where you're just like, what does this card do? I didn't even see it before. You know, but it's rough. So I am equipped with Gruul Aggro, because I'm liking this metaphor. So what about you, Jordan? You said Green-Red Tron, right?
Yeah, Green Red Tron, I debated between that and then the mono blue version that's apparently pretty good. But I guess Green Red Tron just smashes the mirror. So
the blue one, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm not saying this to be rough with you, but the blue version's harder to play. The Mindslaver lock is harder to pull off.
No, I mean, that's fine. Like, there's a reason I don't have them on my sideboard. I read that, and they were like, yeah, like, it's pretty, you have to know when to do it, when to fetch for that card, when to pull that off of your Ancient Stirrings, whatever. And I was like, nope. Like, I'll play the thing that does damage to dudes. And, like, and a lot of that comes out, like, I don't think I would be afraid of playing a blue-white flash or, like, a Bant in Standard, but playing something that's a little trickier, techier in modern, a format that I have literally, like we talked about, no idea about, would be just incorrect and dumb for me to do. You have to know your limitations. And I think that's a big thing as a piece of advice, that like the more you know without your end step or whatever, is know your limitations with this format. If you're uncomfortable playing a mid-range or a control deck in standard, don't think you're going to be okay with American and modern. You know, likewise, I'm feeling pretty good with the mid-range, a little uncomfortable with control and standard, but like I feel like I could pull off the Tron combo because I can play three lands and Karn and be fine. It's not hard. But yeah, playing green-red, like we talked about a billion times now, sideboard is going to be so crazy. I read three or four articles at work today, and I still just don't know. And I think a lot of that comes from I don't know the card pool to know what cards I could play. Like, I asked Morgan to borrow Combusts last night, and just because I saw it in a list that I was, you know, reading, I had no idea what that card did until Morgan kicked me on. I was like, oh, that card's actually pretty good. Put those in the sideboard.
And pretty, like, important as well.
Right, knowing what my own cards do, yeah. Green-red has a very strong matchup against black-white tokens. Plural, thank you. It wasn't actually fun testing last night. like, just because, like, I didn't know what any card did, and then, like, I had good matchups against Keller and Morgan, so I was like, oh, I just don't know what I lose to now. So, actually, I don't know what my matchup's bad against. Anything that plays Stoning Silence, and then what's the rain that deals that destroys a land?
Molten Rain makes you cry.
Yeah, no, I was watching Cedric Phillips' stream on Twitch.tv/SETIP, and someone casting Molten Rain on his tower, and he just, like, right-click and seed. Because you literally can't come back from that if they do that early enough.
I run those on my sideboard.
Good.
They're very, very good.
Molten Rain's destroy target land, right?
It is. And then it checks after, like, oh, by the way, if it was a non-basic land, punch them even harder in the face. Punch them in the face, and if it's a City of Brass, hit them again. So it's nice.
What's the card that destroys a land, looks at your hand and your library, and searches for all lands that...
That's Sowing Sultan. That's a beating as well.
That's the card that was cast on Cedric. And he right-click concede. Because you could play around a Molten Rain. You know, you have enough fetches, you have enough redraws, or whatever. But Sowing Salt, oh, God, because if they get that on any card before you have more than two out, so turn six, you just lose. So... I mean, I'm really at the point where, in my modern knowledge, if someone goes Sowing Salt, and I'm going to be like, target, please call Ghost Quarter, not Ghost Quarter, okay, Scoop. Like, that's where I'm going to be at. But I'm going to prepare, I'm going to ask after the show, so we don't get in trouble, how to play Magic on things that aren't Modo. Not that you can do that, but if there was this magical place where you could, I'm going to ask how to do that. And prepare for that, grind games. I'm going to skip FNM tomorrow to practice a little bit. And honestly, it's just a game of just playing a ton of Magic and trying to see a bunch of decks. I'm at the point with this format where I literally just need to sit down and grind it out. And I think that's what I'm going to do.
I think what you also said is really important too. Like obviously Tron is probably something different than any kind of deck you've ever encountered before.
Right.
But like you said, like, yo, blue, white, red. Yes. So like, oh, I played blue, white, red in standard. Okay. So I'm going to pick up modern. It's so totally different because, yeah. You know, because the entire deck, like blue, white, red, and standard, is catered to the answer the cards that are in the format, just like any control deck. So, like, just because the colors are the same, and yeah, you're playing Snapcasters and, like, burn spells, doesn't mean, like, you need to know what to play around. You need to know what to counter. And I think that's, you know, that's really important. Like, I think you picked a fine deck to start with. Like, honestly, I suggested, you know, Gruul Aggro, which I think would have been fine as well. Something where your decisions are a little more linear. Okay, and I think if you are in the format, new in the format, you want those linear decisions. Like, you open a hand, hey, can I hit Tron? Do I have something to cast off Tron? No, new hand. You know what I mean? Hey, I open a hand, hey, can I kill my opponent on turn three or four? No, probably shouldn't mulligan anyways, but we will. you know, it's honestly when I started the format, as much as I enjoyed the format, like Twin is something I picked up because it was sort of like that too. You were playing it so quickly, and now you know it's like, you know, I would pretty much play anything handed to me, and I really enjoy the format. But I think definitely if you're learning the format, and as the format, you know, it keeps opening up more and more. I think Morgan, you're right that Legacy, you know, with Legacy is going to die. I think eventually Star City is going to switch to, you know, we're not playing Legacy on Sunday, we're playing Modern.
Which, how great would that be? Because now I can play them both.
Oh, I'd be so excited. I keep waiting for him to do that first Sunday Modern one. I think they keep doing like double standard and sealed because they're terrified of what the legacy players will say when they finally do a Modern Sunday event.
Right. I mean, honestly, when we think about it, they're the only thing keeping legacy alive. Local
there's, store. There's GPs. I mean, there are GPs.
Right, and GPs are, I think whichever store runs the GP gets to decide the format, if I'm correct. So, you know, but there's a reason there's only, what, two a season, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the format will die, and like Morgan said, it'll become the new Vintage, and Vintage will become 100% proxies all the way across Sanctioned Magic. So, I don't know. I want this to become a thing. Wizards is pushing it very, very hard, obviously, with Pro Tour formats, and it was a PTQ season. By the way, now's a great time to get into Modern. It's not a PTQ season. So if you're like,
and Modern Masters is, you know, it's not brand new, so it's not the hot stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, definitely. But it's not also rare yet.
Right. I mean, this is the great time to get into. So if you're listening to this thing, and man, those formats sound fun. Maybe, you know, I could be like Jordan and Morgan and jump into this now and lessen some costs. Now's the best time to do it financially. Especially when a lot of current block stuff are in, like Shocklands are the cheapest they'll ever be. Again, in the history of the game, like, you'll never buy a $15, you know, Hollow Fountain ever again. So, you might as well get them now.
Oh, that was good advice.
Yeah, and like,
I have no criticism for that advice. Good job, Jordan.
Oh my God. Hold on, everybody. Note this moment, September 5th, 2013, at 11:33 p.m., Mike Kenny 100% agrees with Jordan Kennedy.
Yeah, and like,
I didn't say that. I just said I don't disagree.
And like, I can't find anything wrong with it now.
The best thing about it, really, is that there's something out there that you'll probably want to play. Like,
if there isn't, make it. That's the cool thing about this format, like, too.
If you'd like to play aggro, there's aggro decks. If you like to play control, there's control decks. If you like to play mid-range, there's mid-range decks. There's combo decks. Like, there's literally anything that you could want to play, it's probably out there. And even if you want to build something that may not be built already, like, build it up and brew it. Like we said, we have a buddy that loves Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas, and he made a Tezzeret deck, and it's really awesome. It has some kinks that needs to work out, but it's pretty cool.
Like, how do I beat Stony Silence?
Beating Stony Silence is with your artifact deck is very hard.
Well, you don't.
Figure out how to do it.
But we appreciate the effort there, Tiger.
Tiger?
No. I told him just to counter it. He's like, well, okay.
Spell Snare, brah?
Yeah.
Bro, does your Stoning Silence even lift?
Bro, that's two in a row. You lost it. You're done. No more.
But
I
think that is something that definitely holds it back, is that it doesn't have everyone's buy-in yet. Like, people don't think that people see Legacy and they go, I just want to play all those powerful broken spells. I can't do that in this format. I'd rather do this, and that's what they do. And like, everyone, like a lot of people are already, you know, invested, you know, into Legacy. So it's hard for them to break away and be like, you know, fully support this format. People only see it as a PTQ format. They only see it as a Pro Tour format, and that's it. That's the only time people really talk about it. Or if there's a big GP coming up, like Detroit, you'll see a lot more articles pop up about Modern. But I think that once you see it really get supported by someone like Star City, that's when you're going to see a lot more change and like discussion and like new things being brought to the table, is when it's actually getting focused on, not just for 3 months out of the year or 2 weeks out of the year, but 100% all around.
And that's going to lend away from what I was saying earlier about like this feels like the good players format, you know, because, oh, those guys that I see on camera do that, or like that guy from my local store is playing in this Modern event downtown, I could play Modern. As of right now, it's Reed Duke was really good at playing Hexproof, and I'm not Reed Duke, so, and I'm not Shahar Shinhar, so I'm not going to play this. But like, wait, like you said, once you see Joe Schmo Nobody playing on stream at Star City, that's going to lend some people to doing this. Like, after I played my first game last night, I thought, I could play Modern. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm not playing the most complex deck, but I could play with these cards. And it lends a lot to, A, confidence, and then, B, fun for the game, because now I'm playing with these insane cards that I didn't get to play with a long time ago.
I mean, that's, yeah. And I think I should point out, like, you're saying, like, hey, more people need to support this. If you're, especially if you're in the, you know, this, you know, the Ohio region and bordering states, TCGplayer.com, you know, their tournament series. If you haven't looked in a while and you're planning on going to the 50K Championship in Columbus, it is now half standard, half modern. And I think, you know, like, they wanted to, I think, make it a little more interesting, you know, because I played in it last year with a couple of people from around here, and I tell you what, 16 rounds of standard.
Oh, gosh.
Gets a little rough. But and they didn't want to do Legacy, obviously, because that's sort of Star City's thing. But they're going to be streaming that, and that's an event. You know, that's a big money event. So I think definitely, at least in this region, there's some reason to start testing it, some reason to start pushing it, and I'm excited to get to do that. Even if I'm the guy in the test group who's like, "Here's the aggro deck. Can you beat a Goblin Guide? No. Okay, new deck, buddy."
Sure, right. I mean, fair enough. There's got to be somebody like you were playing the Naya Blitz of Modern, and exactly. Like while it. While I might hate you during testing, like, there's some really valid thing to that, you know?
Like, I mean, I would like to say last night playing against our friend Elliot, the Tezzeret guy, his blue-white deck that he was testing out couldn't beat that deck. Even in sideboarder games, when he was on the play, it was not winning ever. So he was trying out new cards, trying out wall of them, was trying out whatever he could, because he's going to play against an aggro match, and, you know, he's got to at least be able, you know, you're not going to beat all the nut draws, so you can't do it. But he wasn't beating pretty much any of the draws. And we know this now 2 weeks before we go there, so he can change things. Because if we're testing, you know, if we're not testing at all, and then we're just like, oh, he sits down round one of this GP, and his opponent goes turn one Rakdos, Cackler, or Goblin Guide, and he's just like, oh.
Wait, I mean, and that's more than modern, too, right? Obviously, that's every format.
Playtest. Oh, very much so.
Right, and so. Especially, like, you know, like, at this point in standard, you probably don't need to playtest. Like, honestly, like, we kind of cut it from our playgroup a little bit just because, you know, all right, Jund's really good against everything. Everything sucks compared to Jund. Move on. Like, you know, obviously that's over in dramatization. But, like, Modern, it's a constantly evolving and changing format because sideboard cards matter so much. So testing for it's actually a lot more real. So I think you just made a great point that you need to play. If you're going to GP Detroit, get on something that's Moto or Moto-esque.
What kind of bird is it? Phoenix?
They made a card. Death Grade Bad Bird. Death Gaze Cease and Desist. Yeah.
I want that altar so bad. Just like a sensor bar over the name of Death Gaze Cockatrice and just like a cease and desist letter painted over the bird. I want that so bad.
Oh god, we have to know an artist, right? Like if you were an artist, friend of the show, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at your Instep, and we'll commission you to paint some of these. We'll
make my dream a reality.
Yeah, please. Give us the Sphinx's Revelation. Huh?
What?
No? That's not even funny. It's just a bad joke.
No, I mean, you were terrible tonight.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to have a talk after this.
Oh, man. You guys can't see it, but we will. If you see Jordan in real life, you'll be asking him about some stairs that he fell down after tonight's episode.
Jordan, I thought you were pregnant. Not anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, that got real dark. Oh, no.
Anyway, so as you know that you're in step, as we get closer to the end, we get closer to debauchery and just...
The what?
Debauchery?
Jeez.
You know what? I'm actually just going to mute my microphone. So somebody... Yeah.
Alright, sweet. We're going to go ahead and we'll close out on that note. Again, we do appreciate you stopping by. Again, we will be at GP Detroit. I know that we've got some tweets from people that are going to be there. You know, keep an eye out for our playmats. If you see them, come up, say hi. We'll have cards. Business cards, that is. And we definitely want to meet our fans. Obviously, this is probably the first big event that we might be able to do this at. So we're going to try to get some pictures up there so you know what we look like. It's quite frightening because hopefully you won't find us and kill us. It is Detroit. But we would appreciate a handshake.
You're the only thing I listen to in prison, and I got out for this weekend.
Three dual lanes for that Glade cover scout you got there. Meet me in this alley behind the convention center. Yeah, sure, man. That's great value. We'll talk about this on the show and make fun of you. Then we just go get stabbed and our collection gets stolen. LOLOLOL.
Yeah, so obviously, please. It sounds like from where we're going, it's going to be relatively safe, but no need to pick on Detroit, although, more than we already have. But we'd appreciate you seeing you guys, so hopefully we'll see you out there. And, you know, have a great one, and thanks for stopping by.